October 3rd, 2007.
This is Richard Wyatt from the Ontario Linux Fest, and you're listening to the Lullabot Podcast.
Lullabot Podcast.
We've been given a hard time about laughing so much, but I think it all starts... So, how it works is we dub in the intro. So, could we just, you know, say the intro bit, and then we dub in the actual music for the intro. So, we don't actually hear the intro when we do the podcast beginning, and so we just sing it, usually, which... puts us in a very...
It's sort of an a cappella interpretation.
It just, you know, puts a very silly spin on the whole podcast right off the bat.
We like imagination.
Yeah. It's the Lullabot Drupal podcast. We get together... I guess it's averaging out to every other week. Sometimes it's every week, and sometimes it's not for 3 weeks at a time. Semi-weekly podcast. And I'm Jeff Robbins, and I'm here with...
Robert Douglas.
And...
Angie Byron.
And also...
Jeff Eaton.
Hello.
Hey, guys.
Hello.
Hey.
So this is it. We're going to finally do, so we've been requested and talked about for pretty much since the beginning of doing the podcast, which is like a year and a half now, doing a taxonomy podcast. And every time we think, well, we should do a little more research. I mean, there's so many different aspects to it. We really want to be able to cover everything. And finally, after putting it off for, like I said, a year and a half, we decided to actually do no research and just do the taxonomy podcast. So there's the caveat, you know, we are pretty much just talking based on what we know, which I think is still going to be helpful to people. But first of all, we wanted to say we've got intro. People have been calling in with intros for the podcast, like that one with Richard Wheat. If you'd like to call in with an intro, you can call 877-Lullabot on Skype or Gizmo or any of those kind of things. It's +1-877-585-5226, or you can call in, I think, from a landline in the U.S. or Canada.
Ancient telephones.
Yes, or a cell phone or whatever. And you could do an intro for the podcast. You could also do a question. Ask a question. Every so often we do listener question podcasts, and we just queue up some of the ones from there and answer them. So we'd love to hear from you.
So what's the intro text?
What's the intro text?
Yeah. What should they say?
Oh. Yeah, they should call in and say, hi, this is, insert your name here, from, insert where you are from here, and it's the Lullabot Podcast. If you could say, it's the Lullabot Podcast, that would, you know, fit in with the kind of rhythm we've got going.
And then sing the Drupal song.
Yeah. Well, the Lullabot theme song would go there, really. But if you wanted to sing the Drupal song, I suppose I can't stop you. So, yeah. And we've got workshops coming up in Providence as well. This is the sponsored section of the podcast. We've got two different workshops coming up in Providence, Rhode Island from November 5th to November 9th. The first one is called Drupal Intensive, and it's just kind of like hands-on Drupal configuring, arranging, figuring out which modules to use, and basically understanding really in-depth how to use, in particular, CCK and Views. We are going to be building a photo sharing site, not unlike Flickr, during the course of the week. The whole week we'll be sort of building one project. So Monday and Tuesday are this sort of do assembling the functionality of the site in the Drupal intensive workshop. And then Thursday, Friday, Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday are Drupal theming, where we will theme the site and sort of pimp it out and add extra features, stuff like that. So,
will there be any sort of visual theme or perhaps some sort of common thread that binds all of these photos on our photo sharing site together?
Well, there may be. We wanted to sort of differentiate ourselves from Flickr. So we're building a site called Flipper. It's very different in that ours is just nautical themed photos. So there's some fun there. So you can sign up for each workshop individually, or you can just sign up for the whole week, and you get a discount for signing up for the whole week. And I should also mention there's an early bird discount going on right now. However, it ends on Friday, October 5th, which is this Friday. So if you want to get a discount on the workshops, sign up now. Like now, right now. There you go. That's that. So, Drupal news. Any exciting news in the land of Drupal? We just got back from Barcelona. That was fun.
Woohoo!
Yeah.
Always a good time. The Drupal conferences. DrupalCon? Short for Drupal conference.
I think a lot of the energy right now is going into A, recovering from DrupalCon, and B, just like prepping for like beta 2 of Drupal 6, which is, from what I hear, like right around the corner.
Yeah. I've been doing some beta testing. I got a couple of bugs that I posted and patches and stuff. I'm feeling pretty good about my Drupal mojo.
Woohoo!
Yep.
There's actually an interesting patch. I've been like totally like hyping this patch everywhere I go. But the full code press interview that you guys did, I think a couple of weeks ago, where a team of developers had like 24 hours to build a website, and one of the teams used Drupal, and they ended up running into a lot of hassles with some of the theming system and how some of the styles have to be overridden. There's a patch in the queue and for Drupal 6 that will help make some of those issues a little simpler. So it looks good. So it'll be cool if that goes in for Drupal 6 as well.
That's cool.
Exciting stuff.
Yeah. There's we covered them some, but a lot of cool new features in Drupal 6, and beta 2 should be out soon. Download it, test it out, find the bugs, post the bugs, fix the bugs. And eventually the final version will come out. But yeah, it's chugging along pretty nicely. So, taxonomy. You guys excited about this?
Oh, yeah.
One of the things that makes Drupal special and differentiates it from other systems.
Well, it truly is. I think that we've gotten a lot of people coming to our workshops who said that they chose Drupal specifically because of the taxonomy stuff, particularly a lot of people in the library sciences, in particular librarians, and also I don't know, people doing to sort of the general population, and even sort of relatively new web designers and web developers and stuff, the concept of taxonomy doesn't often come into play, but for some areas, it's incredibly important. So let's start by defining taxonomy. Who wants to take a shot at that?
I do.
Can I? Oh, go.
Well, it's the practice and science of classification. That's according to Wikipedia. And I think in the whole discussion that we're going to have now about the Drupal taxonomy module, it's always important to keep in mind that it all starts from the desire we have to organize our information and to give it structure and to give it meaning beyond just the actual words that are written in posts or the actual images that we have, but to be able to say, okay, these are my images from last year, or my images from a vacation, or these are my posts that have to do with cooking or politics, and give the site some structure. So if we keep in mind that taxonomy, the English word, means the practice and science of classification, then we start to see why they chose that word in particular for the Drupal module that does all these things.
So, yeah. So it's classifying things, and that means a lot of different things, right? I mean, technically, any way that you classify things is taxonomy. And so there are a lot of classifications of things or organizations of things in Drupal that Drupal does outside of taxonomy. All posts by a given user. Technically, that's classification. It's classifying things by a certain user. But however, we already have the user information on there. The taxonomy module is for adding extra stuff that you might not be adding normally.
That actually brings up a really good point about what makes taxonomy different than a lot of the other options that are out there. Like, there are a lot of ways using views module or blog module or whatever to have some sort of inherent aspect of a node, like its author or its content type handle, like what section it appears in. But taxonomy is good for taking just some arbitrary classification scheme you've invented and layering that on top of your content and using that to organize stuff.
Yeah, yeah, and it can be what a lot of people think of now is Drupal calls free tagging or tagging. It's sort of the web 2.0 thing where people can just sort of type in a tag for their content as they're creating it. Delicious bookmarks is sort of the first experience I had with that type of tagging, and Flickr does this, and a lot of places do it now, and Drupal does that. But then there's also like preset what Drupal calls vocabularies, where you can have a list of terms, and we'll define both the word vocabulary and term in a moment. And so you would just choose from a list. So maybe it would be, lots of times people use this for a section of the site. So, this is, a story that's going to go into the news section of the site. And so you would choose from the different, terms that you can put stories into, right? So let's quickly segue into what exactly is, well, maybe we should start with what is a term in Drupal.
Part of the idea behind taxonomy is that everything you use to categorize things is like a way of describing this piece of content. Free tagging is a really easy way of thinking about that. You just type terms that like describe what kind of stuff you're talking about in your post. But in Drupal, every way of categorizing things with the taxonomy module all boils down to taking a descriptive term that, you know, describes what the content of that is and attaching it to a node. And that also ties into the idea of vocabularies. Instead of just having one gigantic pool of terms that you use to describe stuff, in which, you know, saying, you know, a piece of, you know, a particular recipe is vegetarian friendly and it's also from Asia and stuff like that, all of those things are actually different ways of describing things. For example, region would be one whole pool of descriptive terms. It could be from Asia, it could be from Europe, you know, stuff like that. Dietary needs could be another vocabulary. It's a whole different set of terms that you can use to describe stuff. And vocabularies are what Drupal uses just to divide those things into different groups so that you can have, say, five different vocabularies to describe a given piece of content that say, this is a really big recipe, it's Asian food, and it's vegetarian friendly, and it's fast to prepare. So those would be like where it comes from, what dietary needs it has, how big the recipe is, you know, all those kinds of things. You define the vocabularies that you want to use to describe things. Then you figure out what descriptive terms go in each vocabulary, and then you can start tagging them onto content. Does that make any sense?
I think it makes some more sense. Let's shoot at it from a different direction and see if we can help people to understand a little bit
better.
I always call a term basically a keyword because people seem to understand that concept a little bit.
A term is so basically, yeah, you can tag any node or content item. So, for instance, a blog post or a story or anything, you know, any content item on the site, you can tag it, you can categorize it with a list of terms. And it's also important to remember, I mean, this might not be so important for someone just coming in, but each term is represented as just a single number in the database. So you can change, you could, as an administrator, go in and if there was a misspelling of a term or something like that, you could change it and it, you know, it would automatically update across the site and stuff like that. So, and also them being terms being numbers, it makes it really quick to do database lookups to find, give me all of the numbers, all of the terms that are related to this content item. And so, yeah, that's that. And their vocabulary is a group of these terms and, you know, related terms that are related to each other, like, you know, Jeff's example, but maybe there, it's a list. Each term is a region and the vocabulary is called regions. Or each term is a dietary need and the vocabulary is called dietary needs or something like that. So it's a group of them. And how it ends up on the site is, you know, you have a single selector for the region, and it could be a single select selector or a multiple select selector, and then, or it can be hierarchical things. So you could have regions. Your regions could be North America, and then list of Canada, United States, Mexico, and those would be subcategories of the. And also the word term and category can be used interchangeably. And so, but you can have this sort of hierarchical thing. And again, part of the reason I think that we've kind of shied away from doing the taxonomy podcast is a lot of this stuff is difficult to explain without some sort of an illustration. So,
see, part of the funny thing is for a long time, Drupal's been using the word taxonomy for a long, long time. And it's, Drupal's been sort of ahead of the pack using these kinds of complex classification systems. But that also meant that it like scared the crap out of people who didn't know what to make of the word taxonomy, whereas lots of other systems were using words like section or category. So there's a little bit of confusion in the terminology that Drupal presents to end users sometimes because people tried to make it a little friendlier, and we call it categories in a lot of user-facing stuff, but behind the scenes, it's taxonomies and vocabulary. So navigating around, there's a lot of terminology like that. The funny thing is now more and more web CMSs and even blogging packages like WordPress are starting to adopt the word taxonomy for you, for their classification systems.
Well, I think what they realize pretty quickly is that, well, it's not always used for sections or it's not always used for tagging per se. And I think Drupal, this seems to be sort of a trend in Drupal, but it tends to be done the big way first in Drupal.
Yeah.
In sort of a tortoise and the hare fashion. I think Drupal tends to be the tortoise a lot of times. While other things just sort of attack things a little more directly, then people sort of come around to saying, oh, I see what Drupal's doing. It's actually more solid. So
when in doubt, make an API.
Yes. So says Jeff API Eaton. So what is the taxonomy system do, and what can you do with the Drupal's taxonomy module? I mean, I think a lot of people see the very direct ways that it's set up in core when you sort of unpack core and don't realize a lot of the things that you can do with it. I mean, for instance, most Drupal themes, I would venture to say all of the contributed Drupal themes, just display all of the taxonomy terms that have been associated with a given node on that given node. And lots of times there's situations where you don't want to do that. I mean, if for instance, it is the section of the site, then you're likely in that section of the site and or that's being represented in some other way on your page. Maybe it's a color of the section of the site or something like that. And you don't necessarily want it to say, you know, this is a news item on the item because it's, you know, there's a big banner at the top of the page that says news. And so it's important to remember that you don't have to output all of the taxonomy terms as links on the nodes.
There's actually a lot of snippets in the theming section and stuff like that for how to divide taxonomy stuff up by what vocabulary the terms are in so that you can display them separately on your site.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, that's the easiest thing is that if you put the terms in different vocabularies, then you can just, you know, show me the free tagging terms for this node, but don't show me the sections or, you know, other things. So that's important to remember. And then taxonomy module has this really cool thing. And I think people, once they discover what it does do, sometimes they overuse that feature, but it is really cool and really fast when you click on the terms that are associated with a given node, you get a page that lists all of the nodes, all of the content in that, that are tagged with that item in reverse chronological order. So, for instance, it would be a good and relatively easy way to do the news section of your site would be to just use the output that the taxonomy module outputs for that, and you get an RSS feed for it and stuff like that. And the really, really cool part is that it also means that free tagging, user-entered terms, as people are creating their own photos, let's say, they can create their own terms. And then you could get on the fly an RSS feed of all of the items on a given site that are tagged with a term, ocean, let's say, or fish. He said, going back to the Flipper website example. So,
yes, yeah, so actually... Go ahead. Sorry, Jeff, but with that example that Jeff Robbins just explained, I would like to add a little more information to that, because actually what is behind those term listings is a whole API, there you go, a whole API for building lists of content based on taxonomy. And I don't know if it's still widely known and general knowledge in the Drupal world that just by manipulating the URLs on your site, you can, for example, introduce and or operators and combine content from different terms on the same page. For example, let's say that term number 3 was apples and term number 4 was oranges. If you do the URL taxonomy/terms/3,4, then you get all of the content that is... the intersection of everything that's in 3 and 4. And you can really build complicated listings with that, which is really interesting, really fun. It was also way ahead of its time, but it also answers part of the question that Jeff Robbins asked a couple minutes ago. What does Drupal's taxonomy system do? And I would like to speak really briefly to that and break it down a little further, if I may.
Please do.
Because we talked about how it's a system for letting you build classification systems, and those are the vocabularies. And it's also a system where either the administrator or the end user can fill those classification systems with terms. So there you've got your vocabulary and your terms. But that's all administrative stuff. And then it's a system for associating the content of your site with any of the terms that you've created. And then that last part that we just talked about, where you can build listings of content, is its fourth function. It does all four of these things, and that is to build listings of content on your site. And when we discuss the future of taxonomy and where it's going and how it can be improved and where its shortcomings are, we need to keep these four functions in mind, because it's my opinion that the future of taxonomy, to improve it, really, it needs to be split up so that these different functions can be specialized a little more.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Should we go through and look at the taxonomy setup pages and sort of explain kind of what's going on when you set up a new vocabulary and terms and stuff like that. And I think to some extent we can define a lot of these things by just sort of looking at that. So for instance, when you go to set up a new vocabulary, you give the vocabulary a name, you can give it a description. However, the description doesn't actually show up anywhere.
One thing to mention real quick, and this is something that a lot of people who are new to taxonomy can get hung up by. The name for your vocabulary shouldn't be one of the descriptive terms. And this is like if you're setting up that regions vocabulary that we were talking about before, the first thing that a lot of people do is like create a region called like Earth or a vocabulary called Earth. And then all the subsections in it are, you know, like, you know, what continent and what countries or something like that. But that mixes things up because Earth, if you really want to go to that level, should actually be one of the tags or one of the terms that's in there. So your region is basically a description for all of the terms that are going to be in that vocabulary, not one of the terms.
Not the root term.
Right.
Exactly. So in that case, yeah, so it would be region or regions would be your vocabulary.
It's not a technical problem, but it just is really easy to get yourself confused later.
Well, think of it as what you're going to get is a selector on your node editing and creation page that it has a title above it that is the name of the vocabulary. So the name of the vocabulary wouldn't be Earth, and then you could select from the continents and stuff like that. The name of the name of the vocabulary would be region, and then you could select from that. So if you just think of it as this is the descriptor, the title for the selector on your node page. So, so that's that. The description it can be used by theming and stuff to display in various places, but for the most part, it's really just for the administrative stuff, isn't it?
Only third-party modules ever use the description, the taxonomy description.
Yeah, yeah. But the help text, which is the next field on the vocabulary creation page, is actually displayed below that selector. So, you know, it could say something like, please choose a region for that represents where this news is happening. And then there's a list of types of node types. So you can associate, and this also could help you as you're starting to visualize your site. If you have, now it's easy in Drupal 5 to create new node types basically on the fly. Well, for administrators to create new node types. And if you want to have different descriptors, that's usually a trigger that this should be a new node type. So again, following our example of news happening in different regions, you might have a news node type, or you might just use the story node type for this. And so you would want to check the box next to news and or story so that the regions would show up as terms you could tag your stories or news items with.
That actually brings up another point of confusion that a lot of people have, which is when do I use taxonomy versus when do I use CCK versus when do I use, you know, something like that. The way I usually break that down, well, because, you know, do I make a taxonomy term or do I make a CCK select dropdown? You know what I mean? Like, sure. Things like that. For CCK, it's usually like the way that I break it down is if it's, you know, people also ask a lot of times, when do I know to make a new CCK type versus when do I know to make a story versus an announcement versus a this, or should I just use taxonomy to separate those, you know?
Certainly if they've got different fields, you want a different node type.
Yeah. So well, if
no, I'm go sorry. Ahead. Go ahead. race condition.
So like your story and announcement both only have a title and a body, and that's all they're ever going to have, then you might be able to use taxonomy to say this is this type and this is another type. But if your announcement is going to have a, I don't know, an image that goes along with it and a, you know, and the story is going to have like a press release contact or something like that, then it makes sense to make those two separate things. Go ahead, Jeff. What were you going to say?
Also, if you need different access permissions for different sections, like I only want certain users to be able to create stories versus, you know, news or versus announcements, using different node types for that is probably the easiest way to go. There are solutions to providing taxonomy-based access control, but they're a lot heavier than just setting up an article versus a news content type and giving different roles permissions for those.
Yeah, yeah,
that's
definitely
a good point.
But yeah, I mean, I think, and we talked about this, I think in the deprecated podcast where we asked, is taxonomy module deprecated? And I think that there are certainly things that the CCK module does that overlap and can overlap and sometimes are better solutions. It's important, again, going back to remember that taxonomy terms are stored in the database as numeric data and indexed as such. And so it's really a quick and relatively easy database lookup to find all of the terms that are associated with a node. Whereas with CCK, at least currently, normal drop-down lists of text are not indexed in that way. So although they might sort of appear on the page in the same way, if you're building a really high-performance site, you need to just keep it in mind. I mean, ultimately, it's probably not going to be that big a difference. But and again, one of the nice things about using taxonomy is it is a very low common denominator Drupal thing that has a lot of modules that are related and do various things with taxonomy stuff. And there's a whole API there and stuff like that. So oftentimes it's better to use taxonomy when you can, but there are things also like, you know, you might not want to get an RSS feed of all of the things that are, I don't know, maybe it's some sort of a layout kind of a thing that you're using a dropdown. Maybe you've got and this is a thing that we did with MTV way back was there was a dropdown selector that said whether this is a news item that's a single column or wants to expand to be a double column. And it was still had the same information, but if it was like more important, it would blow out some of the advertising on the right hand side, and be a double column width. Well, you don't want to get an RSS feed of all of the double column wide news stories. It doesn't really matter like that. And so, in a situation like that, I mean, you know, people could sort of hack through the site and find that stuff. I mean, if you don't have a link to it, sort of. You know, does it exist? I don't know. So,
and Jeff, you bring up RSS feed in this example because taxonomy, one of the further features that it has is that it not only creates listings of nodes based on how you combine the term IDs in the URL, but it can also offer RSS feeds of those listings. And that's why you're mentioning that, right?
Right. Which is a very cool feature, but sometimes you don't want that stuff, or you want to at least sort of control that. And taxonomy tends to just kind of automatically create a whole lot of new URLs where people who are hacking people could do some really cool stuff where they, you know, show me all of the news stories that are, you know, in this region and contain and, you know, tagged with this term, you know, or would be a really easy kind of a thing to output with taxonomy module, but maybe you don't want people to do that. So
the general rule of thumb that I try to use when deciding whether like taxonomy should be used or like a CCK field is, if I could read this piece of content and it wouldn't make sense without that like actual descriptive term being displayed, it might not be a taxonomy term, but it might be like a field that should be put in there with CCK. Like, an example would be like a recipe site, that, you need to list every single ingredient. In theory, you could say, oh, well, I'll use taxonomy to store all the ingredients, and then I can automatically get all kinds of, you know, cross-linking between what things share what ingredients and stuff like that. The only problem is taxonomy is best used as, like, an additional layer of description on top of the actual content for it. And if you take off those descriptive terms, suddenly a recipe is useless because all of its ingredients disappear. And that distinction is, it's not like magic, but it's one of the lines that I tend to find helpful when trying to figure out which way I should go.
Sure. Yeah. Well, let's keep trying to get through the vocabulary description page. the next item is I'm sure we could spend a long time on this just explaining, but the concept of hierarchy. You can have vocabularies, again, groups of terms can be hierarchical using a single so what would you, singular hierarchy or multiple hierarchy, or you can not have them. They can be a flat listing of terms. Can we come up with some examples here of how and why you might want to use these things? So,
sure. I can speak to that a little bit. For example, a flat list of terms is t-shirt size. It's small, large, medium, and extra large. And that's all of the options. They're just those four, and they're all in order. So that's no hierarchy at all. Sometimes things have a hierarchy where it's a tree hierarchy, or they have single parents. That would be Jeff Eaton's example was very good for that, where he brought up regions. So you could divide eight places in the world into regions. You could do it by continent. So that would be one level. Then you've got Asia, North America. And then you could go further and you could say divide it into country. And then you'd have countries like Europe, countries like Belgium, Germany, and France, or countries like Canada and the United States. Then you could go one level further and divide each of those countries into states, Michigan, Iowa, Idaho, and so forth. And every level of differentiation that you add to that is a level of the hierarchy. So just to bind all the terms that we've used, in this case, if Michigan were a term, its parent would be the United States. And the parent of the United States would be North America.
However, America and North America are both terms as well. So you can actually tag things with specificity. So you say, well, I know this is happening in the United States somewhere, but I don't know what state. So I'll just tag it with United States. And then it's within and the great thing about, again, another nice feature of the taxonomy module is you can actually show all of a term with all of its children content as well. So by just one single URL, you can say, show me all of the news stories that are happening in North America. And it will show everything that's tagged with North America directly, with the United States directly, with Michigan directly, or any of the individual states directly. And so that's pretty crazy stuff and cool.
You could go down to neighborhoods if you really wanted to and you were insane.
Yeah. Yeah, it can be done. I mean, the problem with that always is the just the user interface to the end user creating stuff, but it can be done. And it's pretty neat. Do you want to try and attack the? So that would be a single hierarchy, right, Robert? That would be,
yeah.
That's a single tree-like structure. This concept of multiple. I don't think I've ever used multiple on a site. I should say.
Yeah, there's a big debate about this, and the debate is whether or not any single term can have more than one parent. Now, clearly, Michigan can't be in both Canada and the United States at the same time. But let's say you were going to do sections on your site, and you said, okay, I'm going to have, you know, international, state, and local sections for news. But they should also have, you know, politics and business and travel and entertainment sections. And a lot of people try to kind of combine this whole bunch of terms into one vocabulary, thinking that, okay, you know, then I've got politics, but politics can be international and state, and you've got local politics too. So, you know, clearly politics has to have multiple parents. It should have the parent international, it should have the parent state and local. There are some use cases for that, and I'd have to dig them up on the development list. But I think the general consensus is that multiple parents are messy and a bad idea, and if you can, you should try and avoid them. And how would you avoid them? Well, in the example that I gave you with international, state, and local, and politics, business, and travel and entertainment, you divide it into two vocabularies. So instead of having one widget on your node where you have to say, okay, this is international politics, and it also applies to state politics, and you have to select politics twice in the list because it has multiple parents, well, then you'd have two widgets on your node, and you'd say, okay, in the first widget, which is region, I'm going to say international and state, and then in the second widget, I'm going to say politics. So you can use multiple parents, but in most cases, you should try to find out if you can't split the vocabulary up into multiple vocabularies.
And the problem with the multiple vocabulary type as well is if you are using children that have multiple parents, the user interface does just display it as a single tree-like hierarchy. So you actually get that same child showing up multiple times in the listing. So I think to the end user, it still feels like the same kind of a thing. I think the example, I don't know if this has changed in the Drupal documentation, but again, to just sort of to give another example, you know, if you had a vocabulary that was food, you had a term parent in it that was drinks, and another that was dairy, and another that was, I don't know, meat or something. Whereas something like you know, apple juice would just be in under drinks. Milk would be both under dairy and under drinks. However, maybe you should have a separate vocabulary for for these things because
like food group versus type of food.
Yeah.
Like delivery method. Yeah. Do I use a straw or a fork?
Right. Yeah, yeah, exactly. Right.
I don't want to offend anyone, but I think if you really have to use multiple parent taxonomy terms, you're crazy. You're just mad.
There,
and
now you've done it.
Wants to talk to you.
Now you've done it. Okay.
I just say that because it makes my brain hurt, and all the interface and UI issues that you end up having to grapple with are really, really thorny. So it's not so much, oh, that's horrible that you would ever think of doing that. It's just you're really tackling a big, big challenge trying to work out the details of something like that.
Well, and then to try and relate it to the end users who are entering the context content as well is also a challenge.
Then there's that.
It's like, okay, I think I've got it figured out and I've got it set up, and now I need to explain it to people. So I don't know, but I also have to admit I haven't been involved in not deeply involved in any like really, really hardcore taxonomical related websites. So that covers the hierarchy section. Now there's a checkbox for related terms. What are related terms in and what do they do?
Can we dub in the sound of crickets?
Yes, I told that, yeah. So, okay. So related terms, it's funny that there's even a checkbox for this, because I don't think it's actually used in Drupal core. Can anyone confirm this?
Well, will give you a box to enter related terms. However, Drupal core doesn't do anything with that. It's for contrib, I believe, unless the search engine knows about it.
It gives you a box when you're creating terms, but doesn't give anything new to the end user, to the person who's creating content.
Right.
And Drupal core doesn't actually do anything with the related terms. But let's Can we come up with any examples of related terms? So let's say...
okay, cars and automobiles.
Yeah.
That's probably a bad one.
Because there's also this concept of synonyms in taxonomy. I know. So let's say related terms for my milk example again would be... Related terms would be milkshake, ice cream, other things that are related to milk but aren't actually milk. And so maybe... Yeah. You know, you could set up a module that would show related, you know, content containing related information.
For example, like Pikachu and Jigglypuff could be related terms.
Sure. Okay. yeah. So related terms, and then synonyms, which isn't on this list. But I think that is, similar. Obviously, synonyms are similar, yes. But you can also create synonyms, which also taxonomy module doesn't actually do anything with. But I can think of a lot of situations, particularly around free tagging, which incidentally is the next item on the list, where users are creating their own terms, where you would want to have things be synonyms of one another. It would be DrupalCon would be one term, and other people are tagging Drupal Conference or Barcelona 2007, and you would want to say, actually, you know, but, and this is an administrator thing, and there ought to be a module that does this, or maybe there is a module that does this, that you can go through and basically sort of wire together all these terms so that when someone, and again, I don't think, you know, taxonomy module doesn't do this. So, you know, when you did a listing of DrupalCon stuff, you would also get stuff tagged with Barcelona 2007 and things tagged with Drupal Conference as well.
Yeah, I think the end idea behind these two kind of taxonomy relators is that the related terms are for terms that actually exist, and they're supposed to just express some relationship. And I thought you did a good job with the milk and the milkshake and all of that. But that assumes that those are both actual taxonomy terms, whereas I don't think there's any idea in the synonyms world that the synonym words exist as taxonomy terms.
Oh, really? Oh, okay.
That's,
I didn't realize
that's my understanding of it. Now, that can be disputed or discussed, but that's my idea of how that was originally conceived of.
Ah, right. My understanding was that synonyms were terms as well, and they would relate one to the other. So, yeah.
That's not enforced or expressed anywhere in the taxonomy module, at least.
Oh, okay. Well, good to know. So maybe you would want to use related terms for this. So,
Well, what the whole thing wants to be is a system where you can say, okay, I've got these two terms, and they are synonyms of each other, or they are opposites of each other, or you can describe some sort of relationship. So, once you have that relationship, of course, you could, you know, your imagination goes wild with the things you could do. You could say, you know, oh, you know, you're looking at an article about a certain president, and you could say these are all the opposite articles about that president or whatever. I don't know.
Instant pro and con argument section.
Exactly. However, it just kind of puts the very basic frameworks out there and kind of hopes that people use them. And we're about to talk about the fact that there are lots of contributed modules that base their whatever they do on taxonomy module, and maybe some of those do that. I mean, we don't know them all. We'll be honest right up front. There are like dozens of contributed modules that base what they do on taxonomy. We don't know them all, and maybe some of them do use the related terms and the synonyms in really interesting ways.
And people should come and leave a comment on this podcast on lullabot.com. If you know, with tips and tricks about this stuff, because I'd love to know more about some of that stuff.
I'm going to go out on a limb and say no one uses these.
Well, these
no
are
prove us wrong.
Prove
us wrong.
It's definitely sort of fringe case kinds of stuff, and it'd be really really cool.
Actually, the funny thing is Matt Westgate, one of the co-founders of Lullabot, and John Van Dyke, another Drupal guru who wrote the Actions module, many moons ago, they actually created a site that had a really, really complex taxonomy structure for classifying a lot of information, and they used the synonym system internally in their site to do all kinds of cross-references and stuff like that in a very elaborate taxonomy hierarchy. But the problem is you know, they hand-rolled all of that, and it was just for their site. And most of the uses that I've heard of it are very, very site-specific, and no one's really done any kind of a generalized system inside of Drupal that makes use of that in a visible-to-the-end-user kind of way.
This would be a good time to mention that taxonomy terms are actually added onto the when the search index goes through, they're actually added on as sort of highly weighted items into the search index. So basically, something that talks about couches. let's use milk as the example. An article that talks about milk.
And couches.
And milk, spilling milk on your couch, will be more highly, show up higher in a search for milk if it is tagged with the term milk, than if it is not. And so, you know, in terms of search indexing, it's also helpful to do, you know, free tagging, you know, keywords kind of field on your nodes as well.
So yeah, that was a great introduction to the first rebuttal to Jeff Eaton's challenge that node modules use this, because as he well knows, he was just being provocative. There is in fact a module called the synonyms module that does that leverages the synonyms that you've added to any given term and adds those to the node when it's being search indexed, so that you can say search for now you've got me
couches, sofa, sofa.
I was going to try and go with milk, Jeff, but there are no synonyms for milk.
Yeah, it's only in leche.
Right. So yeah, if you search for sofa and you have couch as a synonym for sofa in the taxonomy, then the synonyms module will make sure that that shows up in the search engine. So I can search for sofa and find couches.
Right. And again, it's all about user interface. And I mean, you know, that stuff isn't going to happen automatically. It requires the administrators to go in and add synonyms for things. And it's a whole lot of clicking to get into each, edit each term and stuff like that. But again, taxonomy is all an API. And so it would be easy to create an interface to make tying those things together better.
Well, easy from a code perspective, but the challenge of figuring out how to make it make sense visually to end users is still a biggie.
Yeah, yeah. And I haven't opened up the synonym or synonyms module and looked at it, but maybe it
33,
does that.
33 lines long.
Oh, probably doesn't do much.
Well, it does exactly what we said. It takes the synonyms from a term, adds them to the search index so you can find them later.
Which is helpful, but it doesn't actually have an interface for relating synonyms to their...
Well, but that's part of the taxonomy module.
Yes, except it's a pain in the butt.
And that's actually one of the biggest issues with the taxonomy module. It provides a lot of tools for making terms, adding them in there, but especially when you deal with like large free tagging vocabularies and stuff like that, it's administrative tools for going in and sort of, you know, pruning the garden of random terms that have sprung up. That's really lacking. And that's actually, if anybody's out there, you know, saying, I'd like to make a module that would just take the Drupal world by storm. Good tools.
Actually, somebody did do that.
Gosh.
one of the Summer of Code projects was the Taxonomy Manager by Matthias Hunter, and it actually got a round of applause at Barcelona when he demoed that, because people were amazed. It basically uses Ajax to, and you can reorder, like reweight things. You can merge terms together. You can add and delete them, and all this kind of stuff. And you should check it out if you. And let me bring
Sorry, folks, I'm a tease. See, your opportunity.
I always talk about stuff, and then I don't have your
response. It's all been done.
Well, I think,
no, but it's pretty cool.
Yeah, I would say Ajax would be a good, you know, because it's lots of little bits of content that need to kind of pop up at the right time and easily editable and stuff like that. As I would call it, Hooray-Jax.
Hooray-Jax. That project's drupal.org/project/taxonomy_manager.
Isn't that Yippee-Yay-Jax, Jeff?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Yippee-Yay-Jax.
That's more American, isn't it? Yippee-Yay-Jax. It doesn't work with aha, though, so Yippee-Yay-Ha. Anyways, the next item on the list, we're slowly making our way through the vocabulary
checkbox by checkbox.
Yes, so we covered free tagging. I think we've covered what that is. It allows the people who are creating the content to enter new terms. Just, you know, type in the terms and it has autocomplete now in Drupal. If anyone hasn't seen that as you're typing in your free tagging term, if it already exists, as you type in part of it, it'll autocomplete. Very sort of delicious style. multiple select is another checkbox here. Basically, yeah, if, you know, some types of tagging is going to be one per vocabulary, but maybe, again, using that regions, if you were to leave it as multiple select, then you could say, well, this is happening in Massachusetts, Connecticut, and Rhode Island all, and it would be a multiple select, HTML select type input element with multiple set to true, so that it would present that way.
Yeah, you just this is a really good question for data modeling when you build your site. If it's where is your house, then you wouldn't want multiple select. You'd want it, you know, to be, oh, my house is in Ann Arbor, Michigan, and I can only choose one thing. If I go and say that my house is in Seattle, then the selection for Ann Arbor, Michigan goes away because I can only have my house in one place. But if you're saying, where is Ron Paul supported for president, then you'd want to select all sorts of places around the country, and you'd want multiple select to be, you know, select. You can then say, you know, Michigan and Washington.
Right. Yep. And yeah, multiple select presents as that HTML multiple input selector, which is a real bear of a user interface. And I think that there's a module out there that swaps that out for checkboxes, which is easier and better. But of course, if you have a gazillion different things, like for instance, you know, all of the state list of all of the states and provinces and all of the countries in the world, you probably don't want that many checkboxes showing up.
That's a lot of scrolling.
Yes. So again, this is always the issue with this. So, multiple select, that's the multiple. And then last but not least, required, which, means does the user creating the node, AKA the content, are they required to choose a term from this vocabulary in order to create the content? That's pretty straightforward.
What are you, some kind of like taxonomy Nazi?
And then last but not least, wait, which is just the Drupal convention of weighting things. Lower values make that item appear up higher. So basically, you can, when the vocabulary selectors appear on your content form, what order do they appear in? And then also, actually, that weight stuff affects a few other things, path auto. You can do a tag of the lowest weighted term in the lowest weighted vocabulary, because these things are multiple select. If you have to just choose one, a lot of modules will just choose the first. And so you can weight vocabularies. You can also weight terms as well. So should we try and make our way through the taxonomy term creation page?
A lot of these things are very similar to the vocabulary stuff. Weight, yeah. Name, description. I think that's where you can specify synonyms.
Yes.
It?
Yes, that's true. And related terms if you've selected the related terms. So you can choose the parent. How it works is you add terms to a specific vocabulary. So you don't choose the vocabulary on the term creation or editing page. But if it is a hierarchical vocabulary, then you can choose the parent term. Related terms would go here as well. Obviously, the term name, Iowa, if we were using that, regions or United States. And then the description of the term. Again, descriptions not used normally, although it would be relatively easy, just as a note, it would be relatively easy to do a theme override function in your theme so that, for instance, when you went to the listing page for a term, it would display the description at the top of the page, which might happen already. I don't think it happens already. I don't think it does. Yeah, so that would be a situation where you might want to use the description there. Synonyms and then weight. Yeah, we got through that.
You're an expert.
We got through the terms pretty quick. So what are the things that taxonomy does not do that people want to do a lot or have situations where they want to do?
One of the biggies is taxonomy lets you add descriptive terms to your content. It doesn't automatically generate all kinds of like navigation structures and user interface for end users to let them browse around in the site based on those kinds of hierarchies that you set up. It still just shows up as tags on there. There are a number of add-on modules, though, and this is where taxonomy gets a lot more powerful because it's been around for so long that there's add-ons that build on top of it. But there's modules like taxonomy context and taxonomy breadcrumb that can do things like making a breadcrumb trail so that whenever you view a node, the breadcrumb trail up at the top of the page shows the entire hierarchy of all the taxonomy terms that it's in. So, for example, when we were talking about the region or something like that, the breadcrumb up at the top would say, like, you know, Chicago, Illinois, you know, United States, North America, and you could click and navigate your way all the way back up and, you know, to the full listing of everything that way. Those kinds of modules are the only real way to layer other kinds of navigation and user interface constructs that use the taxonomy information. By default, it's still just a list of terms and an overview page when you click on each one of those.
And all of these things, it's sort of like you sort of wonder about it until you see a use case. So a thing that the taxonomy module doesn't do as well, or a thing that's just different from the way that taxonomy module is that taxonomy terms are not nodes. And you would think, well, why would you want taxonomy to be nodes until you start thinking of like these sort of extended use cases where it's like, well, you know, what if you wanted to have a full description? Let's say you had, you had a website that was about, American presidents. I should probably come up with a more global oriented example that people who are listening and not in the United States could relate to, but, I can't think of one right now. So
we're lazy and provincial. we're sorry.
So, American presidents. And so you've got articles, stories that are about, various presidents, and you wanted to have each listing of all of the articles about George Washington. The listing page would show a picture of George Washington and maybe a bio about George Washington at the top of the page. There's not really a way to do that with taxonomy module right now, if you wanted to start doing extended stuff where maybe, CCK fields. So, first name George, last name Washington, and then you know, then that shows up in your taxonomy listing and stuff like that. There's, yeah, not a good way to do that. Although there are some modules that sort of attack this problem in different ways. I actually wrote a module once that does this kind of thing. And the problem with all of these taxonomy modules is they end up with very generic Drupal names. I think it was called Taxonomy Node, the module I wrote once. And I don't even know if I ever contributed it. I think it was in my sandbox or something at one point. But basically it allowed you to create a node and to associate it with a taxonomy term. And then when you went to the taxonomy listing for that taxonomy term, that node would show up at the top of the page. But of course it would just be just as easy to create a node, and then put, maybe you'd have a CCK field type, of taxonomy listing you know, so you'd create the George Washington thing and then you'd select the taxonomy listing field type. I'm making up this thing. I'm just saying it'd be possible.
Man, this is just crazy
and
stuff.
Yeah, yeah. And then you'd list all of the art, you know, related, you know, things that are tagged with that. But
I didn't, like, underestimate how far views can get you nowadays.
Well, that's the thing. You know. Yeah. You know, I mean, so these things don't happen on the fly. So for instance, if you wanted every time a user created a new free tagging term, for something that hadn't been created on your site, it would present them with a node thing that associates, like that kind of stuff's really tricky. But for, you know, purely like going in as an administrator and, tying things together to perhaps a preset listing of, you know, there are a relatively limited number of American presidents, and you only need to update it once every 4 years at best. So, yeah. But we should mention, and because people are going to ask us about this, probably the biggest attempt to sort of solve this problem once and for all, you know, pull out the, yes, exactly. The, pull out the Don Quixote javelins and finally stab it once and for all was the category module. Was it called category or categories?
Category.
Yeah. We have mixed feelings about it. I think the best thing to say now is, so the main thing with the category module, and it's difficult to get on the podcast and criticize something like this that was such a valiant effort, but it veered very far from taxonomy. It basically replaced the taxonomy system, and there was no.
Well, It was an attempt to, you know, we talked a little earlier about the fact that taxonomy doesn't do things like automatically generating navigational structures and, you know, a sense of context for users who are browsing your site. Drupal provides a lot of things like the menu module, you know, breadcrumbs, the book module, taxonomy, that are all different ways of doing that stuff. Category module was an attempt to unify menu module, book module, taxonomy module, and the breadcrumb system. So that anytime you worked with one of those things, it automatically built all of the accompanying corollary structures with all the other stuff. So as soon as you make a taxonomy term, it automatically generates menus, and it automatically generates book module-like hierarchy structures that you could use to browse, and it automatically generated nodes for the taxonomy thing so that you could have, you know, you could, you know, go in and provide full content for that piece of taxonomy and stuff like that. And for certain use cases, that's exactly what people wanted to do. The problem is it scales very badly. Due to certain limitations in Drupal, due to the fact that the menu module wasn't really designed to be used in that way, and the book module wasn't really intended to be used that way, it's very, very easy to use a system like category module to immediately drag down your site as soon as you start generating a lot of content. And then as a corollary to that, all of the overhead and infrastructure that it adds in re-implementing all those different modules using its own code means it's almost impossible to roll your site back to using the standard Drupal menu and book and taxonomy modules.
Right, right. And so, yeah, you're putting a whole lot of weight on this contrib module that I think, yeah, as people are realizing that it isn't quite as optimized as they would like, it's starting to sort of wear down the issue queue, and I think people are starting to sort of move away from using it, and then you're kind of left stranded on an island with this system that people aren't really using anymore. And I think even the maintainership of category module is sort of currently in limbo.
There is actually a maintainer who's working on it who's doing a really good job of chipping through the issue queue, but just in the work that he's done on this, he too has realized that it's a very, very heavy, heavy solution to certain problems. And, I mean, there are still people who are passionate about the fact that it's the right solution for what they need, but if you're making a site that has a large amount of content, there's a lot of caution that you should use when approaching that, because using a tricky combination of additional modules that just layer smaller behaviors and smaller presentation stuff on top of taxonomy, you can usually achieve almost all the same effects, but without the sort of big all-or-nothing approach that category module takes.
Right. So basically it stores every category item in the menu system is one.
And as a node.
Yeah.
So like if you make a free tagging term, it gets nodes. It gets a node for that. It creates
and
menu.
It needs to do a node load and all that information to get.
And one of the biggest problems is that also means that every page on your site gets its own, you know, menu links generated automatically. I mean, it's more than just even taxonomy. We were actually working with a client who had been using category module and had something, what was it, like 20 or 30,000 nodes. Ooh. And one of the benefits was category module built menu navigation links for every single one of those nodes automatically. But the problem is Drupal's menu system is not optimized for building 20,000 menu links.
Well, the whole thing gets loaded on every page load. The whole menu system. And so that meant
the task of rebuilding that actual menu is relatively time consuming. And the problem was is every time somebody submitted or edited a node, it was going through the full process of rebuilding the entire menu tree. So they were seeing like a minute or two delays in doing that. And that's normally in core Drupal a task that only administrators are ever really doing when they go in and have to change the menu structure, and it's usually not 20,000 items. So I mean there's a lot of issues that revolve around that you don't necessarily see if you're working on a small scale site that you need like really tight integration between lots of different ways of presenting stuff, but it's very tricky once you try to push it beyond a small amount of content, and it's also very hard to back out of that approach. So that's sort of why there's nervousness and shiftiness around the subject.
Yeah.
To be fair to the category module, though, that menu integration is a separate module that you don't have to turn on.
Ah.
This is true.
Good, good, good. Yeah, I haven't used it too much, but I do have to admit to telling people to shy away from that. Leverage the taxonomy stuff if and when you can, because and I think that's true of pretty much all of core stuff. Like, leverage the core stuff when you can, because that's the most supported. It's the most well-worn path, and you won't find yourself stuck in
it. And hey, free upgrade path. So.
Well, and actually one of the important other aspects, if you stick to core modules and stuff that stays very close to core, you can be relatively sure of the fact that if there are serious performance problems, someone else will find it before you.
Right. It's
like the idea that, you know, if there's a serious performance and scalability problem with the core taxonomy module, there's a lot of really, really large sites out there that are going to run into that issue before you do, and they're going to be either waving red flags or trying to help work through the issues and try to figure out how to solve that problem. But if you're using a completely parallel system that's not as common and not as widely used, the chances that you'll be the person who's the first to run into those problems is a lot higher.
Cool. So what are some better solutions? So we talked about using CCK and views. What are ways to use those with taxonomy module instead of taxonomy module? What are ways that y'all have figured out to?
I I have a particular favorite, like, way of doing things that has been really cool. It's a combination of three modules. One is Views module, which probably doesn't even count as a separate module because everyone has it installed already. let's be honest. It's everyone uses Views. And the other one is another module by Earl Miles called Taxonomy Redirect. One of the not very well-known features of the Taxonomy module is that every vocabulary that's created can be owned by a different module. So, for example, if like the Image module by James Walker is an example of this, it creates its own vocabulary for categorizing images in photo galleries. And one of the things you can notice is when you click on a tag that's a photo gallery tag in with the image module, it doesn't go to the normal taxonomy overview page. Instead, it goes to the image gallery page where you see like things in a nice little grid of thumbnails. The ability to take over the display of terms in a particular vocabulary is actually something built into taxonomy module. And taxonomy redirect is a really lightweight module that lets you say, okay, that region vocabulary that I created, instead of having taxonomy module just display its normal overview page, I want to point all of those terms to this particular view. And so you create a view that filters things by taxonomy term, and you can theme that however you want to. You can use all kinds of crazy display styles, like you can make a calendar or a grid or whatever. And so basically, you can completely take over how a particular vocabulary's terms get displayed and how the nodes in that section get shown. And if you combine that with something like Taxonomy Breadcrumbs module, which we talked about before, which gives you a full breadcrumb trail for anything that's like for any of those hierarchical taxonomy structures, you can get a really, really cool like sense of context in a big cloud of information, and you have a lot of control over how it looks because it's all a themable view. So that's super cool in my opinion.
Well, and then also, I mean, just views on its own without the redirect stuff, you can set it up to handle taxonomy listings, correct? I mean, it automatically does that, and so you can it basically just takes over the taxonomy/term path and takes the arguments that would normally go to the taxonomy module and sends them to
this is also true
to a view, and so you could, for instance, make those pages be not full teaser listings. They could just be a list of terms. You could change it to a number. They could be full nodes. They could be a grid view or
You could totally make a map view.
Yeah. Well, yeah, it would be for all of the taxonomy listings normally, but you could also set up a more specific one. And basically, it just uses the menu system to basically overwrite what the taxonomy module is doing. So you could set up a specific view that overwrites what the taxonomy module is doing at a given path on the site. And that, yeah, you could totally do that. Display it on a map. Crazy. But yeah, you could also display the description of the taxonomy term at the top of the view. That would probably require a little bit of PHP code in there to do that, but be relatively easy to do. Display them in forward chronological order or alphabetical order or something like that. So. Yeah, that's a good way. And then you'd just be using, you know, taxonomy module to tag things, but you'd be using views module to actually display them, in a different way, which is really, obviously really powerful in my opinion.
It's all kinds of cool.
And then how about CCK? I mean, to some extent, CCK, I think, replaces things in to some extent a more semantically correct way, things that people were using the taxonomy module for before that weren't really classifications of things per se, but they wanted to have a quick selector box. Now you can have a quick selector box using CCK, and it doesn't do things like like I mentioned, you know, in the search index, it doesn't say this is a double column news item and this is a single column news item, because that's not stuff that needs to go into the search index. It's not actually categorization. Well, it's arguable, but but it's not really taxonomy in that same kind of way. So,
well, I mean, that's an excellent example of how in the old days of Drupal, taxonomy was the only really user configurable or administrator configurable way of adding bits of stuff to any content type that you could, you know, set up when you were editing content. So in the days before CCK let you add fields onto stuff arbitrarily, there were some people that would take a simple content type like story, which was just body and, you know, body and title, and use all kinds of different taxonomy vocabularies to basically add fields to that. And, you know, the nice thing is now we have CCK and we have a lot of these tools, and a lot of those abuses of the taxonomy system aren't necessary anymore.
Right.
And that's what I was mentioning earlier, this idea that if your piece of content wouldn't make sense without that piece of data, it probably isn't really a taxonomy term. It's probably something that should be in a CCK field. But if it's a way of categorizing it, if it's just a way of describing what's in that content, then it's probably a good fit for taxonomy.
And I think that there are redundant ways that the taxonomy module has been used. So for instance, if you wanted to have a listing of all of your content per month, you know, you might go through and create a vocabulary that has every month of every year, from, you know, now for the next, you know, year and a half, and then you have to update it, you know. And so then when you create an article or blog entry for your site, you would tag it with that year and month, so that then you could show a page that has the listing of articles in that month. That would, it's from a date, you know, entry of the data standpoint, it's redundant to do that. And it's not, I mean, you know, it's not really like you get an RSS feed of a given month, sort of defeats the purpose of RSS feeds. Using things like CCK and views now, well, views in particular, perhaps combined with something like, the calendar module, I guess, you can, you know, pretty easily display, you know, a view of each month as you go, and that just comes automatically from the creation date of the nodes, and you don't actually need to tag it per se with that stuff. So, yeah, that would be what I would call a redundant use of a taxonomy module, where it's not really needed. And and there are sort of simpler ways of doing things with CCK and views. All right, so we were going to quick and go around and each of us mention our secret favorite taxonomy module, and then we'll finish this podcast hopefully before it's an hour and a half long. I knew. See, this is why we didn't do taxonomy in the past. It's a very, very deep subject. So who wants to start?
Well, I'll mention a module that I wrote that uses taxonomy and CCK. It's called CCK Taxonomy. And it takes what I like about taxonomy, and that's the list building functions. And it puts those into CCK fields so that you can use taxonomy to build your lists that then appear as CCK fields, because CCK can't currently build hierarchical lists, which is really interesting. So if I had to nominate one to be my favorite, that would be it. Because I wrote it.
Yeah, I'm probably the same way. I think I have two picks, and they're both ones that I wrote at one point as well. So my first pick would be taxonomy defaults, which I wrote way back, I think, for 4.6 originally, and Hein Dielstra has taken it over. But basically allows you to go through and for each node type allows you to select default taxonomy terms that will show up when you go to do the node creation. Certain terms will automatically be selected already. So maybe your stories are usually in the news section, but sometimes they're in a different section of the site. you know, you can set it up so that news is selected by default. And you can also do a really cool thing in that if you set up so that there's a vocabulary that's not actually assigned to a given node type, yet you select a default value for that, it will actually save that without any user interface. It'll save all of the node types with that taxonomy term, which, again, these days with views and being able to filter things really quickly by node type isn't needed so much, but back with 4.6 and 4.7 before views, it was nice to be able to do that, get an RSS feed of all of your nodes of a given type without needing to tag them each as such. And then the other module, again, one of my modules, is similar by terms, which creates a block of other similar content, other content that is similar based on its terms. So it scales pretty well. It's a relatively easy database query as compared to some of the other modules that do this sort of similar block thing. It basically just sort of looks at the terms of a given node and finds other nodes that have, are most similar based on those, the numeric data of the terms. So, and we're using that on the Lullabot articles pages and podcasts as well. And it's a really nice way for people to get some sort of contextual information when they come to a page on a Drupal site. Perhaps they're coming there through Google or something like that. And so, you know, it can say, oh, if you like this, here's some other similar stuff on the site. And leverages free tagging in particular, but you could use it with any taxonomy type. So, Jeff? Angie?
I just want to mention Taxonomy Access Control Lite, is a really cool module for basically controlling the privacy of nodes based on taxonomy terms. So you can set up a simple vocabulary like privacy, you know, and make it private, public, or, you know, to one certain role. And by virtue of tagging the content that way, it will automatically control the access of it. And I find that's an easier to grasp access control solution than some of the other things like organic groups has quite a big learning curve associated with it. And tagging is something that everybody kind of gets. So, you know, I can select from a dropdown and that does it. And we use that on a number of different, websites that I help out with here and there. And it's nice. So I just wanted to mention that one. Jeff?
Hey. Hey, I was muted. So I'm just going to return to that one that I mentioned earlier, Earl Miles' excellent taxonomy redirect module. It lets you say that when a term in a particular vocabulary is clicked, instead of going to taxonomy/term/1 or something like that, you could say go to mysection/1 or whatever URL you want to map those taxonomy terms to. And you can stick a view there. You can stick a custom module that knows how to do something special there or whatever. Just lets you hijack the display of terms in a particular vocabulary, and it gives you a lot more flexibility. It's just super cool. And it's a great way to leverage taxonomy and leverage different vocabularies and stuff like that to displaying really customized presentations for your site.
Cool. Anybody have anything extra to add about taxonomy stuff? I think we've exhausted ourselves, if not the subject.
In Drupal 7, we're going to be porting taxonomy to Ruby. I'm lying.
You are a true provocateur, my friend. Yeah, so it'll be like a little Ruby kind of a module thing that'll run inside of Drupal, right? Yeah.
Or Lisp.
Something. Some other language that no one in Drupal knows much about. So that'll be fun. But yeah, I mean, the taxonomy module has basically been around for a long time. 3 years, 4 years, something like that.
Web eons.
And virtually unchanged. You know, it goes through the minor changes from version to version. And I don't know if I can fully say, like, it really needs to be revamped. I mean, it covers a lot of use cases. There's definitely some stuff that it provides provisions for that aren't really being used, but it doesn't really drag it down per se.
I would say the one real big thing, and Stephen Wittens has actually done work trying to get this up and running, but user-specific tags would be a real big thing for like a next-generation taxonomy system.
Right, right. Well, what is it called? Community tags? Is that right, Angie?
Yep.
That basically allows, so Flickr, on Flickr, and I know other sites do this too, but you can go through and tag other people's stuff.
Right.
And currently there's not really a way to do that in Drupal, and it would sort of throw it into the pool with the original users, tags. And so there's really no differentiation between who tagged it, and stuff like that. And that's kind of uncool. Like, it would be nice if there was a way that you could, you know, have user specific, tags so that maybe I could just see my tags of given things or, my friends' tags of things. And
yeah, I haven't looked at community tags lately. It might do that by now. But that's in a nutshell, it lets you... I think community tags was intended to be more folksonomy, so that the differentiation between what the author tagged as and what you tagged as was by design not complete. Or not separated, I'm trying to say. It might do that by now. There's also a taxonomy user module, which I believe does exactly the same thing as community tags.
Oh, not to be confused with adding taxonomy terms to users.
To users, right.
which we also...
Funny thing.
Yeah.
That's why I named community tags, because I figured, you know, yeah.
Right. But I think that there is a module somewhere that allows you to add taxonomy terms to other things.
To other things. Oh.
To like, I think that I thought that maybe I just imagined this, but there was a.
There are, yeah.
That allowed you taxonomy terms to users.
Yep. I believe it adds a new profile field type.
Right.
But I'm not sure what sort of debauched hacks it needs to do to.
And we've solved that problem mostly by just making user profiles into nodes using one of the various user node profile type things. I like BioModule. Again. Bias towards the stuff I wrote, but and then you can just add taxonomy terms to the profiles, and there you go, done. But yeah, and then I guess there are situations where people would want to add taxonomy terms to comments. Oh yeah, right. And there may be modules out there that do these things. There are currently 74 modules. That are in the Drupal 5 branch that are tagged with taxonomy. So go through them. drupal.org/project/modules/category/71. And I think then you need to select the Drupal 5 specific ones. But they're all there. Have fun. And
we're all taxonomied out.
Yeah. I think that was an hour and a half. That should be, you know, just about enough taxonomy for anyone, really.
If there are any library science majors out there who haven't passed out, we salute you.
Cool. Well,
shout out to the librarians. Yeah.
Thanks for joining us. We'll see you in Providence for the workshops in November. And call in with your intros and or questions. The Lullabot Podcast, 877-585-5226 is the number. And we'll see you next time. Bye-bye.
Bye. Bye.